The reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3. I haven't got a church Bible, so if anybody finds Proverbs chapter 3, could you shout out the page 637 in the church Bibles. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read the whole of this proverb. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbour, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbour who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honour, but fools he holds up to shame. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we've already acknowledged publicly God's faithfulness to us as individuals and as a church. For 2012, I want to thank him in particular for the grace that he has given that has enabled us as Christians to persevere. I was talking about this on Thursday evening. Isn't it wonderful that we're still going on with Jesus? Isn't it wonderful that we haven't given up on him despite the trials and temptations that we face in life? If I'm honest, I only have one real desire in life. I've got lots of desires in life, but if I'm honest, I've only got one real desire. That is to make it to the end of my life, persevering in the faith, because the Bible says that it's only those who persevere to the end that are saved. So I publicly want to thank God for his grace that has enabled me to persevere throughout another year. But let's spend our time this morning focusing our attention upon the coming year. This morning I have a text of scripture that I want to direct our attention to. And I would like to think that we would carry this text through the year with us. It may be that there are those here this morning who are relatively new to the church. And one of the things I have started since my time here is to preach on what I have called a motto text at the beginning of each year. And I've produced some little cards with our motto text on them, and there are, I hope, enough available. So please do see Brian West after the service, and he will let you have one. You can take it away, you can stick it on the fridge, you can stick it on the notice board in the kitchen or in the office or wherever it might be. And I would encourage you to look at it from time to time, and to seek to live in the light of it. Well, here is our motto text then for 2013. It's a very well-known verse, but it's good to be reminded of them nevertheless. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Friends, do we want to be led by God along the best possible pathway in 2013? Of course, the pathway that God may well lead us along may not necessarily be the easiest or the quickest or the most obvious pathway, but it will be the best pathway. You know, when the Israelites left Egypt, when God enabled the Israelites to leave Egypt, he didn't exactly lead them along the easiest and quickest and most obvious path, did he? For 40 years, God led them along a difficult pathway through the wilderness that took 40 years. But of course, they learned lots of vital lessons along the way. And it was the best pathway for them to take because it was God's pathway. Do we want to walk the path of righteousness? Do we want to walk the path of wisdom? Because this is the pathway that God wants to lead us along. Well, if we do, then this verse tells us what we are to do. Or these two verses, I should say, tell us what we are to do. So I'm simply going to break the verse up and comment on it. Firstly, the first part of verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. A huge crowd was watching the famous tightrope walker, Blondin, across Niagara Falls one day in 1860. He'd crossed it numerous times, a 1,000-foot wire, 160 feet above the raging waters. He'd not only walked across it, he'd also pushed a wheelbarrow across. The crowd watched in amazement. After completing a crossing, he looked at the crowd and said, "Do you believe I could take a person across in the wheelbarrow without falling?" They all gave a big cheer of affirmation. Then, of course, he asked for a volunteer. It's no surprise that nobody volunteered. Friends, do we trust God to direct our paths? Do we trust God to guide us throughout 2013? Please don't respond out loud to this, but do I hear a cheer of affirmation? Of course, I'm not asking whether we intellectually assent to the idea that we can trust God. I'm asking the question, are we willing to allow God to lead us? Do we really trust Him to lead us along the best possible pathway? If God said, now get in the wheelbarrow because I'm taking you across to the other side, would we get in it? You see, the word trust here means to lean on or to rely wholly upon. God is leading. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But are we willing to trust Him this year with all of our hearts? Do we believe, friends, that God's way is the best way? You see, I think it's fair to say sometimes that we don't always think that God's way is the best way. And for this reason, we don't always trust Him. Think of the Israelites again, whom God redeemed or rescued from the land of Egypt. Now, God's plan and purpose for them was to lead them to the promised land, to lead them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But what did they do repeatedly along the way? They grumbled. They grumbled to Moses and ultimately to God. You see, at times they would rather have been back in Egypt, where the food was somewhat better than the manna and the quail. It was as if they didn't trust God to lead them along the best possible pathway. I've been reading the book of Genesis recently in my quiet times. And I've been reminded that God's original design was for a man to leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife and for them to become one flesh. In other words, God's original intention was for a man to marry a woman and for them to become one flesh. If we turn to the New Testament, we find Jesus picking up on this and reaffirming God's original intention. Therefore, Matthew 19 verse 5, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Now let's ask the question, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Well, most of the book of Proverbs, I believe, was written by King Solomon. You will see, if you look at the end of Proverbs, that there were others who contributed. But most of the Proverbs, I believe, were written by Solomon, who, of course, was given tremendous wisdom by God. And many of the things that Solomon did in his life were extremely wise. But he didn't follow God's original intention when it came to marriage, because the Bible tells us that he took 700 wives for himself. And that's not to mention his concubines. God also said that the Israelites should not enter into marriage with women of certain foreign nations that worship different gods. But Solomon didn't listen to the direction of the Lord, and the Bible says that he loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. And what was the result? The result was that these wives turned his heart after other gods so that he was not wholly true to the Lord his God. God set a pathway before Solomon. Just want you to marry one woman. And I want her to be an Israelite. I want her to be a woman of faith. Faith in me. But clearly Solomon didn't believe that God's way was the best way. Perhaps he felt that God's way was too restricting, too draconian, and so he didn't follow it. We don't always trust God, do we? Or think of Eve in the garden. God had very clearly directed her pathway. It was ever so simple. She could eat of any tree in the garden apart from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was the one pathway that she was not allowed to take, but she allowed herself to become convinced that God was keeping something from her that was good. She wasn't willing to trust that God's way was the best way for her life. And so she ate, and of course we all know what happened after that. Friends, if we're honest, we don't always trust God to lead us along the best possible pathway. But will we resolve in our own minds and in our own hearts at the beginning of 2013 to endeavour to trust in God to lead us along the best possible pathway? Will we be like Abraham, who was willing to be led by God and to go to a different place? Are we willing to be like the disciples who, when Jesus said, "Follow me," left their nets and followed, not really knowing quite where Jesus was going to lead them, but trusting that he would lead them along the best possible pathway? Will we allow the Lord to guide us through his word? What did the psalmist say? "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." It is undoubtedly the best thing to do, to allow God to lead us through his word. Listen to what we read in Proverbs 4:18 to 19. "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full days. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So that's the first thing that I want to say this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust him. Allow him to lead you and to guide you. Don't hold back. Trust in him wholly. Trust in him fully. But secondly this morning, and lean not and lean not on your own understanding. I think we need to be careful that we do not idolize our own understanding. You know, there's a tendency, isn't there, to think that we know best, that we know the way forward. Friends, we need to be quick to recognize the limitations of our own understanding. We have a government. We have a parliament, in many ways at this particular time, that is, I believe, seeking to lean on its own understanding over one particular issue. There are those who want to redefine marriage. There are those who are convinced that by redefining marriage so that same-sex couples can get married is the fairest and best way forward for our society. Sadly, they are not looking to God, not looking to him for wisdom and guidance and direction. I remember sitting in a church meeting many, many years ago. And all sorts of ideas and thoughts were being put forward by the members. And there was an elderly gentleman who kept standing up, and his words were something like this. "What does the Bible say?" He just kept standing up and saying, "What does the Bible say?" Men and women, you see, were sharing their thoughts and ideas, all of which seemed good to them. But what did the Bible say? What did God say? You see, can we do this? Should we go there? Should we adopt this idea? What does the Bible say? And that's a question, isn't it, that we need to be continually asking throughout this coming year, whatever situation, whatever context we find ourselves in. We mustn't lean on our own understanding. What does God say? What does the Bible say? Listen to what we read in Proverbs 28 and verse 26. "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." The important thing to recognize is that God's ways and thoughts are much higher than ours. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, Paul writes, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Or listen to what we read in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And thirdly, in all your ways acknowledge Him. I believe that God is concerned about every single aspect of our lives. And God desires, I believe, that we acknowledge Him in all our ways. See, there's the danger that we only allow God to speak to us for the hour that we are in church on a Sunday morning. But God wants to have a say in every aspect of our lives. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I don't know where some of us are going to be on Monday morning. It may be that we'll be spending time with family. It may be that we'll find ourselves in a business meeting at work. Well, God wants us to acknowledge Him in those places. He wants to have a say regarding our attitude and our conduct and our motives and our speech and so on and so forth. Now, I don't want anybody to go home feeling guilty this morning. But can I ask you a question? Have you ever read the book of Proverbs? You know, from chapter 1 through to the end of the book. You see, this little book in the Old Testament is full of godly wisdom for everyday life. Now, I will admit that it's not a particularly easy book to read because, for the most part, each verse is a self-contained verse. It's not like reading an Old Testament story that flows. It's not like reading a Pauline epistle where an argument is being put together that can be followed. One has to read a verse or a proverb and then dwell upon it for a moment before moving on and reading the next one. But the book of Proverbs speaks to so many different aspects of our lives. Of course, it's a book that needs to be read extremely carefully. We can't read it like a Pauline epistle. The book of Proverbs, you see, amounts to wise sayings. Everything that we read in the book of Proverbs is, of course, true. The reason I say that is because it's God's word. But the Proverbs are, I believe, to be read as what I would call generalizations of truth and not as absolute guarantees. Let me give you one example to explain what I mean by that. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Now, generally speaking, that's true, isn't it? If you train up a child in the way that it should go, when the child is old, it will not turn from such teachings. But it's not an absolute guarantee. And of course, you and I can think of a number of examples where parents have trained their children well. They've directed them well, but as the children have grown up, they've gone their own way. They've rejected the teaching of their parents. But more often than not, children do adopt the principles and teachings of their parents. This proverb, this wise saying, is true. Proverbs is a really practical book for everyday life, and I would commend it to you. Let me say to mums and dads that this book is really practical for bringing up children. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Now, I haven't got time this morning to unpack this verse fully and apply all sorts of other scriptures that I would really would want to apply in looking at it. But the basic point, I think, is clear, that if we don't discipline, if we don't correct our children, they are likely to grow up to be unruly and may get themselves into serious trouble. They may end up killing themselves or getting killed by someone else. We are to discipline our children in order to teach them the right way so that they conduct their lives when they are older appropriately. Of course, I've purposely picked a proverb that is a little controversial. You see, the point I want to make is, will we follow cultural standards and patterns of parenting, or will we look to what God says in His Word? You know, where is true wisdom to be found? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, at work, at home, within the context of the family, within the context of church life, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Is that something that we are willing to do this year? Will we be a people who are constantly seeking the Lord's will in every area of life? Now, let's just spend the remainder of our time, and we won't spend too long looking at this. Let's spend the remainder of our time looking at the promise that we see there at the end of verse 6. And He will make your paths straight. Or as some translations say, direct your paths. Now, some of us this year will want to look to the Lord for His direction. We will want to look to the Lord to determine how we are going to spend our money, or where we are going to live, or where we are going to work, or who we are going to marry, or whatever else it might be. As a church, we will surely want to know what the Lord would have us do this coming year, in order that we might prove faithful and effective in His service. Friends, I believe that God has told us everything that we need to know in His Word. Everything that we need to know is to be found in the Scriptures. He guides us. He leads us through His Word. The wisdom that we need is here, in order to walk a righteous path. The key thing for us, though, this year is to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not on our own understanding and to acknowledge Him in all our ways. It's relatively simple, isn't it? And yet perhaps it's not always that easy to do, but it's something I believe that God wants us to do. Trust in the Lord. Trust in your Creator and Redeemer God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let's pray together. Lord, You don't tell us everything, perhaps, that we might want to know. But You do tell us all that we need to know in Your Word. Therefore, we pray that we may be good and faithful and keen students of the Word of God, that we may know Your leading and Your guiding, that we may know Your will for our lives. We thank You that Your Word does speak to us in so many areas of life. Lord, help us not to lean on our own understanding. Help us not to think that that we know better than you. Help us to submit, Lord, to you in every area of life, to acknowledge you in all our ways, and to trust you to lead us along the best possible pathway, to direct our paths. Lord, there's a catalogue of people within the Bible who at times didn't trust you and found themselves in difficulty. Lord, we know that there will be times this year when we will get it wrong. We pray that we may begin this year with that resolve to want to walk along the pathway that you have set before us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.